First Samuel chapter 2. Looking at the first four verses of chapter 2, we'll be reading these verses responsively. I'll read verse 1, you'll join me on verse 2. First Samuel chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, mine mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly, let no arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, thank you that whenever life is difficult and we face problems and trials in our lives, Lord, that we can tell you, Lord, about those things, and you will help us to bear those burdens. Lord, tonight, Lord, there's many hurting hearts in this room. Lord, there's many needs. Lord, this country needs what you have to offer, Lord. And Lord, may through the truth that is preached tonight, Lord, we become a better testimony for you to a lost and a dying world. Lord, we need you in a special way tonight. Lord, please use our preacher as he preaches this truth. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I really do want to help you tonight. I want you to listen. Keep your Bibles open for a moment. There is a statement in 1 Samuel chapter 2 that I want you to get here in a moment. The Bible says in verse number 3 at the end, "And by him actions are weighed." Actions are weighed. Now look at me. Our world and our country is results oriented. We measure success by how much profit we make. We measure success by how many things we have. We measure success by if we did more this year than last year. Even in the Christian life, I've heard preachers say, "Well, bless God, if you don't read more Bible this year than last year, you're backslidden. If you don't win more people to Christ this year than last year, you're going back, you're backslidden." Folks, that's results oriented. And it's not right. We have to have the newest, fastest thingamajig. That's why iPhones come out every year so that you'll buy them. That's why about every 3 or 4 years they start making it to where you have to buy another one because the old ones won't work well enough with the new systems. I can show you in sports this is true. Look at the coaches who are fired because they didn't make the playoffs. Look at the coaches who are not on a winning team. Jay Gruden for the Redskins. I'm not saying it was a bad move, but the whole crux of the matter is this. Did you know that every one of those coaches went to every practice? Do you know that they didn't just go play golf while everybody else was out practicing? Now, say why? Because we're results oriented. Isn't it amazing? 5 years ago, Jay Gruden was the best thing God ever made to come to Washington Redskins Park. Went to the playoffs the first year. Now we want to trash him. Why? Results. Everybody doing okay? We live in a mindset that if we don't get a raise every year, then we need a new job. This one's going to hurt. We are so arrogant to think we deserve more money every year. Why should I, as an employee, think I've done enough for the entire company that I deserve more money? Just because you made it another year doesn't mean you deserve more money. and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, I think it's wrong for people to strike against their company. I think it's unscriptural. I think it's wrong. The people that are striking right now were excited about the wages that they got several years ago. And now they want to strike. So, well, it's not fair that somebody else makes more money than I do. Strikes are arrogant, disloyal followers demanding more than for what they agreed for. Just thought I'd throw it out there. We have allowed religion, man-made religion, to influence our thinking in Christianity. Now listen to this. This is deeper than you'll catch. Religion is results-based. God says he weighs our actions, not our results. Let me show you what I mean. God does not judge us based on our results. He judges us based on our actions. Religion says your good has to outweigh the bad. In other words, result-minded. You have to trust Jesus, but you have to trust him with all your heart. You really got to mean it. Show me in the Bible the sincerity meter. Show me in the Bible the all your heart meter. How do you measure all your heart? It's impossible to do. That is a, well, then you get these people. Well, they say they're saved. I can't tell whether they're not, but they don't have any fruit. I could be a fruit inspector. Yeah, go to San Francisco and be a fruit inspector. You have no right to judge somebody's life based on their results. Everybody doing okay? Did you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. God saw that big results can be attained by bad actions. Did you know that $90 billion in liquor is sold every year in America? That's big results. Bad action. Just because there's a lot of money involved doesn't mean it is successful in God's economy. In other words, there are great results financially, but the actions are bad and evil. This is bad success, not good success. Just because there is successful results does not make it right. Everybody hear that? Religion says you have to do all these things and we have to see the result or you didn't do that. Well, if you're not cleaned up and living right and walking straight, then you weren't a Christian. Well, tell that to the apostles after Jesus was crucified. Matter of fact, Peter was the lead apostle and he was cussing and swearing. He denied the Lord. I wonder, was he saved or not? Did he trust Jesus with all his heart? Well, 45 days later, 53 days later, he was preaching Pentecost. Guess God forgave him of it. God is the one to determine the results in our life, not us. Let me say that again. God is to be the one that determines the results in our life, not us. You see, God says, I will weigh your actions based on the weight of our actions. He will balance the scale with results. I almost brought my scales of justice in. On one side, you have a dish here and one here and a bar that goes across. And you put a weight here and you match it with something else to level it out. God says, I'll weigh your actions and I'll level it out. You show me your action, God will show you the results. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on, we're going for a ride here. God never leaves the scale unbalanced. God never leaves the scale unbalanced. You may think you've done more action than you have. You may not know what the real action was. And you may not see the real results. Sometimes we have results we cannot see. But may I say this, God is true, God is just, He will never leave the scale unbalanced. You're too concentrated on what He's doing. How about you concentrate on your actions? You see, too many of us want to play God. We're getting down to where we live. Are you ready? We're going to go from amen to OB real quick. We judge based on the size or the number or the quality. In other words, if we don't see the results we want, we judge based on those results. We often base what we do on the outcome or the results instead of the integrity of what we have to do. I do not believe a church should go soul winning because it builds a church. God said, take the gospel to every creature, to every house, in every country, in every land. He said, take the gospel to every creature. That means house to house, door to door, giving people the gospel. It had nothing to do with building the church. It's our responsibility as sinners who have gotten saved to try to keep somebody else out of hell. But we don't base our soul winning even based on the results of soul winning. If we went soul winning every week, 7 days a week for the next 365 days, and nobody got saved, we're going on day 366. Amen. Because God said He'll weigh our actions. We are not responsible for others getting saved. We're responsible for delivering the gospel. Right. Brother Fugit told me of a church he went to, and the pastor said, you know, soul winning doesn't work anymore. We don't do it. Brother Fugit said, oh, okay. About 10 minutes later, he said, I said, our church doesn't go soul anymore. What do you have to say about that? It doesn't build a church. He said, I don't care what you do, but we're going soul winning. Soul winning is the right thing to do. You don't go soul winning to build your church. You go soul winning to be a good Christian.
That's right.
You go soul winning to get the gospel out. Say, well, I've gone and gone and gone and gone. I've not seen anybody saved. You don't know who's been saved. My Bible says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. You don't get anybody saved anyway. God, the Holy Spirit does.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I got to hurry here. Number one, let me give you some thoughts here. Lost man only has what he can do as results. Did you know that a lost person only has what he can do as results? He's not storing anything away for heaven. That's why his car, that's why his house, that's why his money, that's why his bank account, that's why it's all of his little toys and trinkets. That's why those are so important to a lost person, because that's all they have to show as their success. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Remember the old stupid saying? Say, what is that, lost man? He didn't take them with him. I'm for having nice things, but guess what? I'd rather have some less nice things and have things stored away for eternity than have all the nice things of the world and die and go to hell. Who am I to think because I'm 52 years old, I've been working full time and plus and averaging many hours above full time for my entire work career, that guess what? I deserve some things in life. I don't deserve anything but hell. I heard that, Marcia. Lost man can't see past the frailty of his own life. He thinks what's in the bank at the end of his life, what's left under the roof of his house and under the garage, is everything that he has reached in life. If that's all my life is worth, it's pretty puny.
Yes, you're right.
Man looks at money. Man looks at things. Man looks at fame. Man looks at notoriety. But can I tell you something? God weighs the actions. A lot of Hollywood whores and whoremongers who made a name for themselves, but when they die, they're going to fry in hell. And what good is it then? Man values his things more than he does his eternity. I loved what Brother Fugit said on Tuesday night. Live with eternity in view. Well, it's just not fair. Good people have bad things happen to them. You're looking at now. Quit looking at it like a lost person. Look at it like a saved person. Well, it's just not fair. If I were God, guess what? We're glad you're not. You know, man looks at cars and boats and houses and tools and toys and says, look what I have done. Yeah, they're usually paying more for what you can find for less. I'm not against you having nice things. God's blessed my wife and I. We have some nice things. We've done without for an awful long time. We waited for a long time. You say, why? Because I had 3 kids to rear. We lived on an assistant pastor salary. You think preacher salaries are bad. Assistant pastor salaries are worse. Amen? No, I vowed that we wouldn't hire men if we couldn't take care of them. I mean that. Can I tell you something? Usually we pay way too much for stuff. We think we want it. We think we need it. So we go out and pay full price. We do no shopping for it. Most of you would be doing good if you'd wait 3 weeks before you bought something and researched it and find what you could find a whole lot less. Michael and Mindy are planning their wedding. They're finding out there's some expensive stuff out there. They're also taking their time finding a cheap way to get it done. Saving a lot of money. Say, why is that? Because I've taught them. You're going to be a whole lot better off if you got a few $1,000 sitting in the bank when you got married than to spend $30,000 on a wedding. Average wedding in America today is $28,567. $28,000. Folks, if you spent about $2,000 of that and took the other $25,000 and put it as a down payment on a house, you'd be a whole lot better off. Shoot, I didn't even know what $25,000 was when I got married. Brother Mike, when I got married, I was making $6.50 an hour. You do the math. I was working part-time at the college and full-time at a machine shop to put my wife through school and pay the rent and pay the bills. We lived in an apartment that was about 1.5 times the size of this platform. But man, we were happy. You could take a shower, brush your teeth, go to the bathroom, and flip the eggs on the frying pan and stay in the tub the whole time. You could do it all from there, amen? One-stop shop. It was just about that close, wasn't it, Dad? My dad walked through the door and said, where's the rest of it? His living room was bigger than our whole apartment. But bless God, we made it. Lost man only has what he can do and what he can conjure up himself. Can I tell you something? As a Christian, you ought to be looking forward to eternity. You ought to be looking forward. The Bible says in Colossians, set not your things on earth, but set your things on heaven. we have our affections too much down here. I've got to hurry. Number two, God weighs or balances our actions. We are not to balance it ourselves. Our job is to do the actions. It's God's job to balance it with results. Quit playing God trying to balance out your actions. Ouch. You manufacturing your own results can cause God to quit balancing the scale. Because when you start getting involved in his side, he backs up and you lose credit for your action. Some of you are taking things out of your account with God because you're trying to play God. Anybody doing all right? Let me show you what I mean. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I've known a few preachers like this. I counseled their assistant pastors. I know one in particular. He told his assistant pastors, you have to have somebody saved, down the aisle, and baptized every Sunday, or you don't get your paycheck. That's criminal. I happen to know those assistant pastors had a list of people they knew they could go to, and they would say the sinner's prayer again and get baptized again, just so that they could feed their family. That's called man manufacturing results. Not doing the action, letting God take care of the results. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Say, preacher, that was so-and-so. You don't know who it was, but I do. Doesn't matter who it was. It's man manufacturing results. If I put forth the actions, but I don't like how or when God balances the scale, I then take on God's role myself to balance it myself, which means it becomes unbalanced.
Right.
That's exactly what Jesus said about the Pharisees. They would stand on the street corner in sackcloth and ashes saying, oh, pray for me, I'm fasting. They want the praise and the pity of man. They were doing a good action, but they wanted the result. Did you know it's not sinful if somebody finds out you're fasting?
Right.
We're just not supposed to go around gloating about it to everybody. Everybody doing okay? I know some people say, well, if you tell anybody you're fasting, God's not going to bless you. You're an idiot. You don't read the same Bible. I'm not going to go to my wife and say, oh, I'm just not hungry. No, I would tell my wife I'm fasting. Say why? That way she wouldn't cook all that food and I have to sit there and smell it. I have sinful flesh too, just like you. So I have a little more of than I used to. They would stand on the street corners and, oh, I'm suffering for God. I've been fasting for days. They were doing an action, but they were seeking God's result. They didn't get it, so they were manufacturing it themselves, and they lost credit from God for the action they did. God was weighing their actions, but because they left here to come over here, guess what? They didn't get over here, but it took their weight out of the action portion. Boy, that's good. By the way, that results in little answer to prayer. We need to learn to satisfy ourselves with right action and let God take care of the results. This preacher's not disappointed in you if you show up soul winning Saturday and don't have anybody saved. This preacher's not upset if you go soul winning every week for 52 weeks and never see anybody saved. Can I tell you why? Because God will bless your actions. I am not in the business of judging results. I'm trying to help you do the right actions and let God take care of the rest. Boy, that's good stuff.
Yes.
Too many preachers are action-minded. If we don't have more people in church next Sunday than we had last Sunday, then bless God, we're going backwards. Well, I've been around when the flu plague hits. I've been around when the weather turns. I've been here long enough, been in the ministry long enough. You know, every once in a while, somebody throws up all over everybody and everybody's got it. Amen? It's going to happen. I know of three families out today because everybody was home with their head in the bucket. Throw it up. You think I'm going to look at God and say, we failed today? Bless the Lord. No, we didn't fail. We had a full house. We had two people saved. We had three visitors today, and God did a good work.
Amen.
Let me show you what I mean. God says, here's how it works. Proverbs 3:6. Brother Josh, I'm going to have you stand up for a second. He's going to represent God. Maybe you ought to come over here and let me represent God. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Here's how God balances the scale. It is my job in all my ways to acknowledge him. It is his job to step in the scale then, and he shall direct my paths. I'm not to be looking for the paths. I'm to be in all my ways acknowledging him, yielding to the Holy Spirit, following the word of God, doing what he says. In the process, he steps in, balances it out, and he directs me which way I should go. Too many of us say, well, I prayed about it. I don't have clear direction. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Recently, we bought a new car. I don't think there was one car on the Ford lot at Hagerstown Ford that was the exact will of God for me. I said, Lord, you work out the deal. If it doesn't work out, thank you, Brother Josh, I'm not going to buy it. I told God what I needed. God gave us what we needed, and it had a whole lot more on it. It was a little, not price-wise, but package-wise, it was a lot more than our other one. And I paid less for it than my one that was 5 years old with 80-some thousand miles needing tires. You say, what was that? In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. I didn't go out to the parking lot, put my hands on all the cars. Oh, God, is this the right one? Oh, God. Folks, that's foolish. That's Pharisaism. I just happened to believe God would work out the right details. If not, I was walking out the door. If it wasn't going to work out, it wasn't God's will. Hour and 15 minutes later, I walked out with the car and the keys. An hour and 15 minutes. Man, you talk about fast. Boom, 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 here we go. Can I tell you something? God says, you in all your ways acknowledge him. He will jump in the scale and direct your paths. Too many times, you say, I'm going to acknowledge him, but I'm going to do it this way. And if God doesn't answer this way, uh-uh. You don't put the limitation on God on how he gives you the result. Soul winning. We are to go soul winning whether we see people saved or not. I'm going to tell you something. Not every time I go soul winning do I have somebody saved. But I've been obedient going soul winning. Oh, by the way, in our little ministry between my wife and I over the last 30-some years, we've seen tens of thousands of people saved. If you count everybody saved in the churches that we've worked in and everything, we're in the hundreds of thousands that we've been a part of. Hundreds of thousands. I'm glad when 7- and 8-year-old boy walked down the aisle this morning, got saved. I just got as excited as I was, had a knock on the door and wanted somebody to Christ. That's enough to make this old preacher want to run a lap around the building. I'm going to take my boots off because it hurts to run in them. tithing. We're to give our first tenth of our income. That's our action. It's God's action to pour out blessings and rebuke the devourer. Well, I gave last week and I didn't see anything. Got tougher this week. I didn't say he was going to balance it in your time frame. But he will balance it. Brother Mike, did you know I've won people to Christ? I don't even know where they're at, what they're doing. I have won thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Christ. I have people I've won to Christ that are now missionaries. I've won people to Christ that are now preachers, assistant pastors, pastors' wives, Christian school teachers. I've won people to Christ. I don't even know whether they're in jail or if they're preaching in the jail. I have no idea. I don't even know what the result of all my soul winning is. But I do know I have gone. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, I've got to hurry. Because I have one more after this. In other words, God wants our obedience, not our results. God wants obedience, not results. God wants to work through us, not just have us do it on our own. This is why we can't earn our salvation. Now listen to this very carefully here. This is why I preach so hard to get you to obey God's words. Because your obedience is the action, we let God take care of the result. I am not interested in building the world's largest church. I'm interested in preaching truth, helping you learn the truth and us live the truth and let God bring the results. Everybody doing okay? If we build a big church in the process, so be it. If not, we've been obedient, God will bless. We're already bigger than the average Baptist church in America today. The average Baptist church, independent Baptist church in America today is 70 people. We had 100 today. We're already above average, only in attendance. I did not say intelligence. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And buddy, we're scraping bottom. The more we obey, the more God can do through us and with us. Did you know that if we just obey, God can do more? We can't see the payback or the payoff all the time. But God always does. We don't always see the results of us seeing people saved. That comes at the judgment seat of Christ. Folks, we may never see the people that got saved on our bus routes, who get saved, their families move back to Mexico, they get in line with a missionary down there, and they start winning people to Christ in Mexico. I know bus kids who have gotten saved in one church in America, went back to their homeland, got with a missionary, went to Bible college, and then started churches all over Mexico, and people back here in America didn't even know it. That's God taking care of the results. Do you think that little Sunday school teacher at the Camp Baptist Temple in a little primary department back in 1971, 72, a little boy tugged on her skirt and said, I don't want to go to the hell that guy's talking about. And she knelt with me and won me to Christ. I don't know her name. I'm sure she's dead by now. Good night. She seemed like she was old then. She was at least 30 years old or something. But no, she was an older, white-haired lady then. All right? She had to be at least as old as Chris Cave. And that's getting there. But you're talking 45, 47 years later. If she was 50 years old, she'd be almost 100 years old right now, and she's not going to remember anything. Can I tell you something? She has no idea what her action was that day, what the results were.
Right.
Mr. Jim Humphreys has no idea, Dad, that day he preached with a wooden peg leg. Him being willing to preach in junior church, Brother Joe, convicted me of needing a Savior. Had no idea what he did in a little boy's heart that day. But about 20-some years later, I was preaching, and his granddaughter got saved at a girl's home. The man that preached and I got saved under, eventually I preached out of state in the middle of the country somewhere, and his granddaughter got saved. He had no idea. You see, too many of us want to fiddle and play God. We're just supposed to obey. Let's quit looking at the results and let's look at the action of going. That means we ought to go soul winning. That means we ought to obey God by our tithing. That means we ought to be reading the Word of God. That means we ought to be in church every chance we get. We ought to be growing. We ought to be helping people. Hey, we ought to get busy. I told my son this week, I said, this week's been a little bit scary to me. I sat in Dr. Jack Hiles' office the night he looked at his staff men and said, fellas, I'm going to die before the rapture. He said, Brother John, you're probably going to die before the rapture, but I think every other man in this room is going to live to see the rapture. He said, fellas, watch Turkey. Turkey holds the key to the Lord coming back. And what's been in the news this week? I'm not for goosebumps, but I've had them going up and down my spine as I read the news every once in a while this week. These rascals get up and preach and say, you have to have a changed life to truly be saved. They are judging results, not action. You have no right to judge somebody's salvation by their results. None. God weighs the action. The thief on the cross didn't have time to do anything but get saved. He didn't even get baptized. I've got to hurry. I'm done with this last point and I'll hurry. Number four, we are not to react. That is the word reaction. If we do not see the results we want or expected. We are not to react or have reaction if we don't get the results we were looking for. Everybody doing okay? Oh, I tried that once. It didn't work. Oh, how do you know? Well, I tried it once. You didn't give God time to balance it out. And maybe you're not going to get the balance for it till the judgment seat of Christ. Who am I to say it got balanced? I have to trust a true and a just God to say he balanced it. Living by principle keeps us from reacting. Let me say it this way. Reaction causes tempers to flare. Reaction causes harsh words. Reaction causes lack of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life because we want something rather than God does. Reaction causes us to quit and go the other direction. Reaction causes bitterness. Everybody doing okay? That's called reaction. God says, I'll weigh your action. Say, well, you don't know what they said about me. My Bible says, love them that hate you. Pray for them that persecute you and despitefully use you. Well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to kill them. Okay, that's a reaction. How about you ask that God keep them alive long enough for somebody to get the gospel to them so they can get saved? You see, we need to act appropriately and let God take care of the results. I have counseled a marriage for a couple that's not in our church. They're in a different state. Their pastor has asked me to help them. You talk about two people that know how to fuss. They know how to do it, let me tell you. And it all comes down to one word, reaction. One does something, the other reacts. Fellas, quit pushing the button if you know you're going to get the same response. You know, don't poke the bear, it's going to bite. You know, every time you say, you're just like your mother, it's not going to help anything. Trust me, it's not going to help anything. So why keep saying it? You're trying to get the result versus doing the right action. Boy, that's good stuff. You see, we need to act appropriately and let God take care of the rest. I don't have time to go there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you go back and read, that's King Saul is now chasing David. David has been anointed king. He's killed Goliath. Now Saul's jealous, and Saul tries to kill David. And if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 5, it says that David behaved himself more wisely than Saul. David did not react negatively. By the way, Saul tried to kill David 7-8 different times. He threw a javelin at him 3 different times. Folks, if somebody throws a javelin at me, I'm not going back to him. You know, you pull a trigger and shoot a bullet over my head, I'll talk to you by phone, but I'm not going to see you in person. If so, it's going to be with you with a bullet in your chest. Just the way it's going to happen, I'm sorry. David went back 2 different times after he'd been the javelin thrown at him the first time. That takes some guts. That takes some action. God weighed it and said to where Saul could have been killed several times by David. And Saul finally said, David, you have behaved yourself more wisely than I. I'll quit chasing you. In other words, David's actions rewarded him by God balancing the scale. I've got to quit. Do you want to live a happy life? Do you want to live a happy Christian life? Do you want to live a life to where you're not judging everybody, including yourself? Let's quit weighing everybody else's actions. Let's quit weighing people's results. How about we just put the action forth that we're supposed to do? You know, you got plenty underneath the lid on top of your head to take care of. You don't need to worry about somebody else's. Your lid might have hair on it. It might be bald. But guess what? You got enough troubles underneath yours. You don't need to worry about everybody else's. How about we worry what's under here in our life and keep ourselves right? When the enemies attack, guess what? You can't control them, but God tells us how to respond to them. How about we act the way God wants us to act and let Him weigh our actions? Good. You may not see the balance of the scale, but trust me, He's got it balanced. He'll balance it out. I promise you, every head bowed, every eye closed. That truth tonight will change your life if you let it. It will change your life.